You're listening to Agile Ideas, the podcast, hosted by Fatima Ibuchi.
For anyone listening out there not having a good day, please know there is help out there. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Agile Ideas, the podcast. I'm Fatima, CEO at Agile Management Office, mental health ambassador, and your host. On today's podcast, I have Jess Tayal joining me. Jess is a recognized global change and transformation thought leader for 25 years. Jess worked in 15 countries and for organizations such as Google, Boeing, Apple, Emirates, Macquarie, and many more. She's worked across a dozen industries and with at least 20 cultures. Jess is about empowering transformation leaders and teams to unlock effective change, demystify transformation, upskill teams and individuals, grow leaders' value, accelerate their career progression, and get them unstuck. Jess's mission revolves around bringing mastery, influence, and growth to change and transformation leaders. Jess is also the founder of the People of Transformation community and the Go-To Leader program. Check out peopletransformation.com. Please join me in welcoming Jess to the show. Jess, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I know, it's been a long time coming, as we were just discussing, but we're finally here, yeah. Which is good, all the way from Sydney. I appreciate the topic we're going to cover because it is a topic that a lot of the time people confuse, I think. So I wanted to just sort of hit her on the head and just start in your own words, if you can tell us, what is transformation?
Okay, how long do you have?
As long as you need. I think you know, it would be really good to just demystify it before we get into sort of your background, yeah, what you've been doing in this space. And I'm very happy if you want to share a bit more of how you came into the world of transformation, because it is something that we hear thrown around as a buzzword all the time. And I know my definition of transformation may differ to the, you know, a next person. So I'm really curious if you can just break it down for us.
Yeah, that's a very good question and a good first question to start with as well. Let's start with how I came to this space, because I think it just matters, like what happened in my world that got me into that space. Long time ago, I started this 25 years ago, and I've done it with so many organizations and in different countries as well. And what I found to be this word transformation, which is quite confusing, actually. Sometimes, even though I am in transformation, sometimes I don't want to use it because there's this stereotype around it that it's this big, hairy thing that will most likely people lose job over. We're probably not going to, you know, do it really well. And it's going to take about 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the stereotype around it.
Exactly.
And I know some organizations just don't want to use that word because it has also that stereotyping to it, that it's this one big bang thing. Although a lot of organizations would argue that, you know what, we're just continually doing change because it's the constant thing. We're always changing. Mm-hmm. And that's all fine. To me, transformation is a significant change in how you do something. And it's not very much related to the scale of the thing. You can be doing one project, but it requires you, aside from the technology or the tactical thing you're changing, you require your people to have a complete mindset shift, or the way they think and belong to that new space is different. So that in itself is transformation. That's one side of the scale. The other side of the scale is enterprise-wide operating model. We're changing the way we do business around here and mm-hmm. anything in between. Mm-hmm. I've had projects that scale-wise, they're a few months, maybe a couple of $100,000, nothing mega, but it was a key enabler to the rest of the strategy of the organization. Mm-hmm. That is transformation. So using the word transformation can a little bit be tricky. Yes. It's what's behind it. It's what gets the organization to reach that future, mm-hmm. change, transformation, whatever you want to call it. That's what I'm all about to make that transformation happens. And having said that, transformation organizations only happen, and it's directly correlating to your own personal transformation as a leader as well. This is the cap or the ceiling of any transformation organization. It's very much dependent on the individual and the collective leaders that are behind that chain
in order for it to be successful. That's a really good summarization. I agree with you completely. Transformation programs in my career has always been those 3, 4, 5 year, you know, large SAP programs, $50 million, blah, blah, blah. Or in more recent years, that big agile, you know, new ways of working where we're going to get rid of 500 roles and all of that. So it is quite scary. And I think that's the problem with the word. It's been used so sometimes used to instill fear in an organization where really it's a collection of projects and programs to deliver a change that strategically have that same driver. So I think that's good to know. But I think you hit the nail on the head towards the last comment where really it's not everyone is cut out to do transformation. You need the right, I guess, mindset to be able to lead that transformation. So we're thinking about the leadership behind a transformation program or initiative. What are the common mindset shifts that you think strong leaders need? Or what kind of leader are we looking for to shape and lead that transformation?
That's a very good question. Because the name of the game has changed. This is not about facelifting to big systems. This is not about bringing in, you know, the army of consultants to do something. It's really not about that. It's really more about your own mindset as a leader and how you see the world. But knowing that this is not about what you think, this is about the collective. And I've seen so many transformations fail because they are living in their silo. Mm-hmm. And that kind of is, by definition, is not transformation. If it's just about this one part, you're not transforming much. Mm-hmm. We need to see to have the right dots and connect them in the right way. That's the first mindset shift. And the second is actually to bring people with you on the journey. And I know a lot of people use that term, but what it actually means is that we need to be adaptable as leaders and as an organization to have a direction and a clarity of outcome, but also accept that this can change. It's not, you know, we're just going with a train with no brakes and we're just going that direction. That's an important part. The one thing for me also that is probably the most critical in terms of mindset shift is know that the change you're doing right now, the sole purpose of it, and I don't need to know what industry you're on, what project are you doing. The sole purpose of the change that you're doing right now is to make the next change faster and better. And once you have that kind of mindset, everything around that change that you're doing changes, because it's not about, you know, ticking the box of that change. It's about building the organizational capabilities. I call them the muscles, the muscle for the organization to do that next change, which we still don't know what it is, the next change faster and better. So having that mindset is crucial because the world has changed. I mean, even after COVID, things need to be done faster, but also no one can afford a phase two and a phase three and a phase whatever of that same thing. You want to do it, you want to do the right thing, and you want to do it well so that your next change is faster and better. It's whatever the future brings. You're able to adapt, you have that agility, you can do things in a way that brings you that meaningful future for the organization.
And I think when you say adaptable, so we're talking a lot about adaptive governance, and a lot of the work we do is supporting programs, large transformation programs, and just business in general. And I think the adaptability piece is critical because even though gone are the times, and maybe there is some that still exist, and I know there definitely is, like in aviation where their programs are 10 years long, but that ability to pivot as and when needed throughout the journey of the transformation, I think it's critical. And I think people do forget that just because you put together a plan and a strategy up front that you can change it, but you just have to be conscious of how you're making those changes throughout. So when we think about, you know, we're setting the foundations for a program of work or a large transformation in an organization, but there's probably some essential things that you see are critical elements to set the foundations for a good transformation within an organization. So what, with all the companies you've worked at, what would you say are the two or three characteristics other than adaptability that you think is essential to be successful in transformation?
That's a very good question. And the first one that comes to mind is clarity of outcome. Absolutely, clarity of outcome. And I always challenge my clients, if you think you're clear, think again. It's very important to have that clarity of an outcome. I think as leadership teams, we do not do justice by our teams of giving them clearly what the success look like and what good looks like in terms of what we're trying to achieve, and striking that balance between not being very prescriptive, as in these are the things you absolutely need to do, and also not being too high level in terms of like it's just a North Star that can mean different things to different people. So that's number one. Number two is making sure that we have the right talent in place. And that's quite a tricky one. And back to the question that you asked before about the mindset shift of leaders, not every leader is cut out for transformation, because you need to be rocking the boat a bit. So if you've been in an organization for a long time and this is your comfort zone, and you see that it's more of like a continuous improvement mindset, that's good in that space. But the transformation change phase is different. It's a different space. We need to be able to really understand the problem really well and know where we're heading. I always come from a school of thought of sharpen the saw before cutting the tree. Take the time to understand what is the problem or the opportunity that the organization is coming up against, and really go root cause, really at the roots. What's really causing this to happen? Again, from the mindset of the next change must be faster and better. So not every leader, and that's not to say like this is not a good or a bad thing, it's just the way it is. Some leaders are not the right talent caliber for the transformation and change world. That's one part, but also the capability. Transformation is not a project. No. It is just not a project. It is a lot of work that needs to come together. Culture change, capability, building the customer experience, governance, how you manage your initiatives, your programs, your BAU, alignment with BAU, ability to have that change adoption. Step number zero is your change adoption. How are you going to make sure that people actually adapt to that change? Having all of these together requires you to have that certain level of knowledge, experience, and unlearning the old ways. That's where this correlation happens between your own transformation and the transformation that you're trying to do within the organization. If you don't have the skills, you basically just, you don't see it. So it doesn't matter how many consultants you get or books you read, podcasts you listen to. If that shift is not there and you're not coachable, you're not open to it, forget about change transformation. Might as well just stay, you know, doing continuous improvement. Great. Just one step at a time. Fine. But now I think with everything that's happening in the world, the dials are shifting. Well, yes, continuous improvement obviously has to be there. But there's more need for change and transformation, but not just those big bang, let's do them, your big rocks, your big strategic objectives. It's just going to continue like that. And you need the right leaders in place. And when I say the right leaders in place, the one capability that comes to mind is the thinking, critical thinking. Yes, humans, we're biased. They've got a zillions of biases around how we think about things. And that can play a big role in skewing the transformation and the change in the direction that eventually does not really get us to the outcome of the strategy or the promise that we promise our customers or the board. So got to be very clear, not because we've got this layer called executive leadership that everybody is on board of that transformation, in terms of not on board as in saying no, we don't, not going to do it, but on board in the terms, are they actually set up for success to run this or not? That's kind of the foundational level for running successful change and transformation.
I think sometimes as well, like you make a good point that though, just because the executive gets what's going on, they're not going to get that that change adoption if they haven't articulated, like you said, the clarity of purpose in a way that makes sense for the rest of the organization. Because otherwise people will make assumptions about what it is that they're transforming, or they won't understand and be able to support it. So do you see that still a big problem?
It is. It's very much a problem. It's kind of the superseding problem before anything, before executing on the strategy or anything. It's kind of that, this is the simple, that not everybody is cut out for that kind of work. And as I said, it's not a good or a bad thing. It's just, you have to know what is required for a successful transformation and get the right talent on board to actually make that happen. And then in the process, build the organizational capability, that change transformation muscle in the organization, so that more and more people get it and get the distinction between running BAU, continuous improvement, but there's also this change and transformation because we need it, because we can't afford to lose market share, our customers, all that good reasons for having change and transformation. So yeah, absolutely. And while you were talking, again, another thing came to mind is, what got you here won't get you there.
Yes.
If
yes.
it's the same tools, the same way we do strategy, we're just talking a version 3 from 2023 one, and we're starting a new one, making a little bit adjustments, new targets for KPIs. That's kind of more of the same. Yeah, we might add a few here and things here and there, AI capabilities, machine learning, more on the data side. But the kind of the foundation, the boat is the same. It's just giving it a different look. So need to, this is a decision for the organization to make.
And then thinking
how
about
how much change do you need to get there?
And thinking about that exact point in terms of the companies you've worked at some really big name brands, Google, you know, Apple, Boeing, etc. What would you say is either the unique challenges or unique opportunities? Were they very similar? Just how that environment was impacting that particular challenge or opportunity, or whether did they vary across the, you know, different companies without needing to mention the specific company, but just generally, what's been your experience seeing transformation? How does it differ across, you know, those businesses?
The difference really comes, the common thread is the maturity of the organization. Every organization wants market share, customers to be happy, retention of customers. Those are always, you're going to, even if you kind of take all the strategy documents from five different companies and remove the names, you can pretty much swap because it's, everybody wants the same. Like, we don't want to, if something happens else, like COVID, what would we do? Remote working, adaptable culture. It's the same. So the language is the same. What is different is the organizational capability behind it. It's that muscle. It's the difference between an Olympic marathon player and somebody who's taking this as a hobby. It's kind of a huge difference. And the difference between the two is the capabilities, the muscle, the training, the fitness. It's that that actually makes the biggest difference. And I see a lot of organizations make very, very big aspirational demands. And it's just not realistic. It's not going to happen because you're asking basically your teams to move from maturity level 1 to 3 in a year. It's not going to happen because it's not about doing the project. It's not about on time, on scope, on budget. That's kind of like old school stuff. It's about the maturity of the organization to actually get there. And if you push really hard, you will get ticks on the boxes. You will get completed projects. You will get green projects, but it's siloed and the rest of the organization has to deal with it. We've done amazing transformation in finance, upgraded the systems and all, but operations still are working the same way. So you're bound by theory of constraints. You're bound by the throughput and the quality of work that operations are doing. You did amazing work with procurement, but your marketing is not aligned. You've done amazing work on AI and machine learning and all of that, but customer, the contact center, the data that's coming from contact center is not good enough even for AI to consume. So what's the point? So it's about having that maturity of the way we think about transformation. And really, it's about, it's not a project. That's the biggest thing that I always keep telling my clients. Transformation is not a project. Sometimes actually putting it in the boundaries in the box called project means that, okay, that's my thing. Okay, let me do it. And the measures and the governance and the KPIs were all about this thing. So I will move mountains to make those KPIs. But it's not about that. It's about what else is happening in the organization so we can really create that one step in the right direction for the organization by building the right capabilities.
So it sounds like there's a problem, a disconnect in a lot of companies when they go to do transformation because they are focusing with that silo mentality of procurement, et cetera. Where's the problem, do you think? Do you think the problem is that the executive layer for not setting strategic direction? Is it the transformation program directors that are not bringing those parts together? What's the problem, and what is sort of your suggestion on how you would address that?
It's kind of all of the above, but I guess it's to focus on the ones that matter, or the ones that are going to do that shifting of reality for those organizations. It's to stop, and that's so hard. Everybody is on that train of delivery. It's delivering, and it always brings a lot of red flags to me when I see an organization. We're biased towards action and speed.
Mm-hmm.
Great, amazing. But that what also tells me, because everything has the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
That means either things are sitting at a very high level and teams decide what they think, what you mean by the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And in some organizations, we take too long to execute the strategy because we're trying to get consensus across everybody.
Yes.
And there's underlying undercurrent in the organization that we're not seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when time runs out, okay, teams go deliver, but they're still not clear. What is it that we need to go? So it's a balance between not being too biased towards action and speed, but also it's not like consensus and everybody has to feel good about it, because it's like asking for confidence before action. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take action, but it's what action? And it's also not going to happen if you've got a portfolio of 150 projects. It's not going to happen because it's not possible. And still, I'm seeing this in organizations. Portfolios are massive. And there's KPIs, red, amber, green, governance, board papers that are all like, what have you done? What have you done? So again, it's coming back to that point of, let's just stop, pause, think. What are our big elements that we're actually going to move the needle?
Mm-hmm.
One. Two, mm-hmm. take those and please forget about the word project and think about it as, what are the different connecting points in the organization that makes that outcome clear? Three, outcome clarity. And four is being open to adaptability, that things can change.
Yeah.
And number five, which is even more important to close that loop, is to have the courage to, once the project has started or an initiative has started, to actually stop it if it's no longer serving the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There's one organization I worked in that we were really trying to do something radical and break the pattern. We actually put a KPI on the executive team. How many projects are you going to stop this year? Big difference, big mindset shift, because it just gives them permission that you just don't have to continue because we've got the business case approved.
Yeah.
You don't have to continue. If it's not serving the purpose, redirect energy and resources somewhere else.
Yeah, 100%. It's a really good point. We had a client, a mid-sized level client, who had, you know, close to 100 projects. And I remember walking in through with the executive team around the projects. And one of them came up and the managing director had no idea what that project was. And it was happening, there was spending, it had a name, it had allocated resources. And it was such a rude awakening for her to realize that out of all the projects that they had going on, she wasn't aware of it. And it was stopped. It was pretty much stopped immediately. So I think you're right. It's reflecting and actually making those changes. And I think you're right in having the courage to make those changes, because sometimes we just assume that because something's been approved and we've already invested so much money that the opportunity's cost is there, we'll just keep going. So I think that's a really good call out. And I think more people should take that on board.
Yep, absolutely.
Thinking about the other side of the coin, as you termed it, looking at the positives, can you share a rewarding success story from either from your career or from a client you've seen where their transformation initiative has like significantly impacted the leaders and organizations in a positive way? Something that, you know, you'd want to emulate in other organizations.
Absolutely. There's a few that come to mind. The one that probably just This is a recent transformation with a very big aviation organization in Europe. And they attempted this transformation many times before and it failed. And when I joined them, the ask was how to turn this around, because this is everything we've done and it just didn't work. And it was coming to a point where it's going to start to become urgent. Like, we really need this to unlock the rest of what we've got in mind for the strategy of that organization. The one key difference that, I mean, this is a very big organization and they're quite mature in their practices. But there was one key thing that was missing in this whole equation, which was defining success. I don't think we spend enough time defining success. It's kind of left to, you know, the energy in the room. If it's done, that means it's success. That's kind of like the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more to unpack in success. It's not just a one-liner thing or a target on a KPI. I mean, again, coming from the perspective of transformation, is this integrated, holistic thing that needs to take to be taken care of. The success of that transformation needs to also manifest that way of thinking as well. So really spent time, and they actually had the courage and the willingness to try something new that was not something that they have done before. So we spent together 3 months to do what does success look like. And the reason why it took 3 months, we didn't start with 3 months, but it took 3 months, is because in these conversations, there were so much amazing findings and all the undercurrent that you wouldn't usually get until you start the execution. They bubbled up on the surface and they got to see for themselves, I mean, the executive leadership team, the so much misunderstanding and gaps between what the leadership wanted and what the teams on the ground are saying. And this exercise facilitated and give everybody the permission to bring your voice to the table. Bring your voice, always bring your voice to the table. And this was the thing, what's your voice? I need to hear your voice. And I need to get those various perspectives. And it wasn't pretty much not me telling them, they can see it. They can see all these things that were like, if we started and we actually spend those millions of euros on that program, these are all the risks we would have run into. We ran together, co-created what success looks like, disseminated that, activated the strategy, and left the teams now to have their autonomy to do it as long as they can see where what their contribution is and see the bigger picture. That part of the program unlocked the way they're going to do AI going forward. And this was a new thing that they were trying to attempt. It wasn't just plug in AI to what I do with pattern recognition and machine learning. They actually wanted AI in a much bigger sense. And they've been trying to, they've been attempting that for so many times, but the outcome is not what the board and the shareholders were looking for. That's the part that unlocked that for them. And now the use cases are there because people now have a voice. They've done the right transformation, which is all these programs that they were doing after the success success exercise. And also now people actually feel more at ease. So when we're talking about resistance to change, and that's kind of like diminished by a lot, because the one of the unsaid benefits to success exercise is now everybody actually feel like I'm heard. People are listening to me. It's also the right balance between not being too prescriptive, but not also leaving me in a vague world where, you know, it may or may not work. It just achieved all of that. And now they're undergoing that second round of AI and things are going much faster because now they can replicate that exercise, but for that transformation, the success, and also made people a lot at ease. And then now they can pull their hand up and said, I don't know how to do this. This is not what I think it was. So I created that culture that enabled that change to happen.
See, it's interesting because when you say 3 months, especially after you said that it had multiple failures before, and we've seen many of those, you would assume that people would be very reluctant to maybe not start with that mindset of 3 months, but invest that much time. But presuming that it's obviously aviation in Europe, presuming there was a many, many millions of dollars worth of transformation program. So when you think about the 3 months and the cost for that compared to the overall cost of these large programs, it's probably a blimp on the radar if it's anything to go by from what I've seen in aviation. So it made sense, but also how much money was wasted in the initial failures. We had a program that was within a large pharmaceutical organization that had failed 2 times before because they weren't able to get the business and operations team on board the journey of implementing this brand new CRM system. And it was so difficult. So I agree completely that bring the people together, as you said, the silos, bring them together, work through, as you said, what the mission and the outcome is, actually have them engaged so that they're part of that. And then you just you separate them out and then they can go off and instead give them the autonomy to deliver because not one department is going to deliver in the same way. And that's why it's a really good call out that it's not always about the projects as well. So I think it's a really good example that people could resonate with for sure.
Yeah. And as I said, we didn't start with like, this is going to take 3 months. We started with that. Let's be open about it. Let's start and see what we're up against. And started with 2 weeks, month. Actually, we need more until it's completed now. It took 3 months. Mm-hmm. But as you've mentioned, which is a great point, it saved a lot of money. It is money spent. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is money spent, but it's also a lot of money saved. It's opportunity cost, sunk cost. But it's also not just money. It's energy, burning out your talent. Your best talent is going to leave. Market share, frustrated customers, frustrated business leaders, frustrated board, frustrated shareholders. It's all of that you're saving by spending time at the beginning and actually do the right thing and then do them well. I think that's a major distinction in the way that we should start to run transformation. The typical way is that leadership go offsite, do something, this fancy presentations, usually one pagers, this, that, give it to the teams, couple of meetings, Q&A, off you go. And then governance takes over. And then we're in a world of busyness of what happened, what didn't, what business case, red, amber, green, consultant, blah, 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 blah. Pretty much every organization that I went to, the answer is within. We just need to have the right space, the right container, and give everything its rightful time. It's kind of that like a slow cooking thing. It's when my husband, I'm doing like a slow cooking thing. And he said, well, just put the fire up and it's going to finish quickly. Yes. It doesn't work like that. You're burning the whole thing.
Yeah,
this has to take its time.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with organizations. Some things are meant to take their time. Mm-hmm. And that time that you think you're spending now and like, where's the tangible deliverables? Mind you, this is going to help you with the rest of the program and you're still going to finish on time, but we're just shuffling the focus in different ways so you can do the right thing and do it really well.
I'm gonna comment on your analogy there. So you're slow cooking. You're right. If you don't slow cook certain types of meats, then they become extremely tough in the long run. So I agree with that one.
It's not about like, just put the fire up and we're done.
You can tell it's not cooking. The other thing I wanted to call out is, a lot of transformations usually do start with a big name consultancy. Now we're consultants, so I'm talking about the other experience. And I talk a lot and have seen many instances where the executives have gone and paid several hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I've seen this in, Agile programs, CRM, whatever it might be. And they get, I've never seen a one pager, if I'm honest, but I'll say that I've seen hundreds of pages. But it's been, to your point, it's either been completely in isolation done offsite by said consultancy after a few conversations with some exec, or maybe a few execs have gone offsite and they've done together and then that becomes the recipe for what they're going to do. But the gap there is it's never understood well enough for people in the organization to actually execute on that. And that is why I think portfolio management projects programs, there's a lot of rework and a lot of failure in this space because they can't connect the strategy with the actual delivery. So I think bringing, and as you said, from within the organization is far more effective. And I've seen that as well. So I definitely would agree with that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And this gap between having a strategy and going in execution, there's a few layers that that an organization would have missed by doing that. And obviously a lot of things to grieve about later. Designing, integrating, cascading the strategy and activating it. I call this all activation before we go and people like go, you know, start executing. There's this big layer that's missing. And that's the part that is uncomfortable for a lot of leaders to spend time on because of we've been indoctrinated in a system where a strategy, we've done it, it's approved by the board, teams, here are your teams, assign them, maybe you got some consulting to help and off you go.
Yeah.
But people are not on the same page. And that's, if we call that alignment, it's not. It's kind of about buying to the false hope of alignment. It's going to, or hoping that alignment is going to come when they see what we actually mean.
Yeah.
But why? Organizations I've seen have time and money to do things again, do them over, but not spend the time to do it right in the first place. 100%. We're going to spend the money regardless. So 100%. Might as well just do it the right way.
100%. Oh, you're preaching to the converted. 100%.
Yes, I know.
So just you run a community called People of Transformation. And obviously you do a lot of work in that space in what you call mastery of practice and helping people and leaders to, you know, I guess, become better at becoming a transformation leader. Tell us just a little bit about that. What is the Practical Powerful Toolkit? What is the community and how can people get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. People of Transformation came to me after many years of working with organizations. And the thing that I keep seeing again and again, yes, we're helping organizations build practices, help design the programs, execute the strategy, great. But what's happening to that individual leader? When they are in that busy world of delivery or strategy execution, who's taking care of that leader? Who is upskilling them? And it's beyond just training for a couple of days and then off we go. A lot of the leaders that I meet with, they've had interactions with big consulting companies. They've had interactions with big technology companies, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have grasped new knowledge, and it's on them to kind of upskill themselves. That's where that idea for me came with People of Transformation, because I know it can be a very lonely world around, you know, the leader who's running it. And sometimes there's like, you just need to talk to somebody who's been there, done that, and in a safe space about what can and cannot work. The world of change and transformation is massive. And the last thing you want is to have one way of thinking, one school of thought, one framework that you're applying over and over and over again. And before you know it, you're not relevant anymore and things start to slip. So the whole idea behind People of Transformation, first of all, it's in a community space of people who actually know that there is more to be done, that there's things that can be done better, but they want that support of the community. That's the first thing. But also want the practical content that is not about one specific school of thought or framework, and making it practical enough that it ignites and inspires them to do things differently and use the community and the coaching and mentoring provided in the People of Transformation to customize that based on their business world. So I've got people from consulting, I've got people who are working on their own business, I've got people in corporate or contractors. Customize that for them in their situation, depending on who they're working for, what's the problem space, what the skills are, the difficulty or the complexity of the landscape that they're on. And the last part also about People of Transformation is bringing in outside thought leaders to share with them what's happening around us and enrich their perspectives. Because to me, People of Transformation is about opening up your perspectives and allowing you to see what are the dots out there before we start connecting them. What else can I think? What are my blind spots? What is the things that are happening other places in the world and other organizations that I can benefit from in my own practice as a thought leader or as a consultant, and also as somebody who's working in corporate as well. Today, for this month, for example, was about business agility. The theme of business agility and how to bring that to change and transformation. Before that, it was about having your profile. How do you build your profile on LinkedIn and so on and so forth. So it's about bringing those voices, having a supportive community, but also have the mentoring that supports you grasp the content make it your own, benefit from it, bring the learnings back into the community. And this community is not about quantity. It's not hundreds of people. It's about the few, but very powerful few.
That's really good. I think the perspective of insights that I think you mentioned is probably one of the most valuable parts of sort of that community. It's like no transformation is alike and no leader is alike. So having that conversation is a really good place to actually be part of. So we'll make sure we share some information on that. Thinking about sort of just to kind of ramp down, what advice can you give to maybe those that are starting out really slowly, or maybe they've listened today and they went, yeah, you know, I want to get into that space. I want to become a better transformation leader. I want to be in transformation. And they're at the early start stages of their career. Is there any advice you can leave them with?
I think if you just listen to this and seeing all these mindset shifts that we just share, adopting these mindset shifts. The first one that always comes to mind is transformation is not a project. Just get out of that world of transformation is a project, because it makes a hell of a difference to move into another space. And also know that transformation is about connecting different dots, and you don't need to go very deep into being an expert in everything under the sun. So having a certificate in change and a certificate in neuroscience and a certificate in agility and a certificate in Scrum and so, you don't need all of that, because there are people out there who do that work, but it's about the orchestration. So we're moving from doing everything. It's like the maestro in a symphony. They might know a little bit about some of the tools, some of the instruments. They might be expert in some of the instruments, maybe one, but their true power is not about coming in and playing the violin. They're about orchestrating everything, about making sure that we're doing the right things at the right time with the right talent, with the right capability. This is your role. That's the shift that you need to make, which takes us away from acquiring more knowledge to creating experiences. We are the fresh air that comes to the world of transformation. And slowly, everybody in their own world creates that shift. And eventually, that becomes our new world.
Amazing. That's great advice. Thank you for that, Jess. As we ramp down today, my final question, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners, a call to action, a piece of advice, or a question to ponder before we wrap up today?
Okay, so I think I'll start with a question to think about. It's a magic question that I like to ask to a lot of leaders, and it doesn't come easy to answer that question, so probably will take time to kind of think through it. I want every leader listening to this to think about, what business are you on? And I don't mean, oh, I'm working in supply chain. That's not the answer. Like, really, what is your business? What do you do? If you're not hypothetically disappeared for one day from Earth and came back, who's going to miss you? What change are you making? That whole idea of thinking about what business am I on drives you, what world are you going to create? It's similar to doctors. Are you in the business of curing disease, or are you in the business of preventing disease? Two very different things, which means two very different ways of, you know, seeing the world. That's the question I would love to leave the leaders with. A call to action, maybe. I shared a lot of the insights that I've learned with working with a lot of change and transformation on my LinkedIn newsletter. Mm-hmm. So you can sign up to that. Just go to my profile and subscribe to People of Transformation. If you want to take it to the next step and actually be part of a community and get the content, be coached, be mentored, listen to others, have the people that support you, check out peopleoftransformation.com. The next cohort is opening up next month. Check it out, and happy to have a chat.
Amazing. Well, we'll share all of that information and more into the show notes, so people can access that, and your LinkedIn profile as well, so they can access you and connect with you there. Thank you, Jess, so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure, and look forward to learning more and hearing more about what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Please share this with someone or rate it if you enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow us on social media, and to stay up to date with all things Agile Ideas, go to our website www.agilemanagementoffice.com. I hope you've been able to learn, feel, or be inspired today. Until next time, what's your agile idea?